Welcome to the Magic Valley Bible Church Sermon Podcast. Magic Valley Bible Church has been serving the Magic Valley for 20 years and is located at the corner of Gooding and Main Street in downtown Twin Falls, Idaho. Our service starts at 9 a.m. and is streamed live on our YouTube channel. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.mvbibletf.org or Facebook at facebook.com/MVBible or YouTube at youtube.com/MVBible. Magic Valley Bible Church, built on God's Word.
There we go. As Nate said, no children's church today, and we do have nursery going on during the service, but towards the end when I pray, we're going to ask if you have a child in the nursery to go up and retrieve that child, so the nursery workers can come down and be part of our celebration of praise. And so that will be towards the end of the sermon. Why don't you take your Bibles this morning and open them to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Like I said earlier, this is a special service in the life of our church and a chance for all of us to give praise to God and testify amongst His people of the many things that He has done throughout the year. Being thankful is the DNA of a born-again Christian. This is what the transformation happens within the life of the believer. Once we've been saved, once the gospel is understood, we enter into this new life in Christ. And the result of that is gratitude, thankfulness. I mean, what is there not to be thankful about when you think about your salvation, being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, being bestowed upon with the Holy Spirit in your life, to be able to have your mind now renewed to the place where now you can understand the Word of God. And the list goes on and on. What are we not thankful for when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so with thanksgiving and praise on our minds, it is my desire this morning to draw your attention to one verse out of this book, out of the book of Philippians. The title of today's sermon is Thankful and Remembering. A short sermon, short because we need to praise. I enjoy this day. I really do. As a shepherd, it's a joy to hear the heart of what God has done in seeing you throughout the lives, through even the hard times, the ups and the downs, and what God is doing. But draw your attention to verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says this simply. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the morning and thank you for just allowing us as we approach a national holiday. We know as believers in Christ, we are thankful each day. We wake up each morning with thoughts of your kindness in our mind. The very fact that you give us breath, the very fact that you make us upright, the very fact that you give us the energy to go about, to do the things, desiring for the kingdom. We are a body who is grateful. And it's all because of your Son. Your Son has brought us into this kingdom. Your Son has delivered us from our sin and the penalty of it. And so we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we do desire to have this service to be an exaltation of your greatness and your goodness. And so I've been praying throughout the week that praise would arise, that the people would stand up and testify about your goodness and kindness in their life. And so may you receive that with the intention of saying that you are awesome and that you are great. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. One mark of the genuine Christianity is that you are thankful. You have a thankful heart. And especially in the midst of trials. I think it's easy for us to thank God when things are going well, does it not? It's easy to praise Him when things are going according to our way, when everything is going right. When blessings are abundant, it's easy to praise the Lord. I'm reminded, of course, in the pages of scriptures, of the blessing of manna and quail for the nation of Israel that God provided after delivering them out of Egypt. Each morning, just get this, each morning breakfast was served. They didn't have to lift a hand for any of that. All they had to do was collect the manna from heaven and eat it. And yet, what was the end result of their hearts? In the midst of God's continual blessings, they started to grumble. We got to have manna again. It's interesting to us how fickle we are, even in our own created bodies, that we desire a little bit of flavor and a little pizzazz. Couldn't you send down some cornmeal or some jam? And when the continual blessings continued, it got old for the Israelites, and their hearts, like I said, grumbled. They wanted more, and they expected more. And it was such a heart travesty. Now, if you think about that, in all reality, when you look at the sky at night and you see the stars, if they would only appear once a year, how many of us would forsake sleep that night and just look at the stars and gaze at its heavenly design? And yet they're there for us every night. They come out every night to display the glory and the grandeur of our Creator. The Israelites in the wilderness got accustomed to their blessings, and God had to chasten the people and remind them that even though this was a daily occurrence, never underestimate the provision and the kindness of God. They were experiencing miracle of God's provision every morning, and yet they were no longer excited about it. May that not be said of us. His mercies are new every morning, and the fact that you find yourself alive, listen, that is a mercy. That you are able to have breath in your lungs and the ability to function to some degree. And so may we exalt God for his daily provisions, and may we always turn to him and give thanks. And then there's the issue of trials, right? Yes, trials drive us to our knees, and it may even seem bleak, and yes, even we may even lament, and it's okay to lament. But as we saturate our hearts in the Word of God and have a working theology of what God does in the midst of trials, we come out the other side doing what? Rejoicing in the character of a sovereign God, even when with our eyes it seems bleak. We come to the end of our trials and we rejoice because God has always walked with us through the situation. And we know this, that according to Romans 8:28, that we know that God causes all things. Notice it doesn't say some things. It says all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Such a favorite verse for many of the saints that walk here on this earth, the whole idea of understanding that God causes even the bad things for good in our life. And so the true evidence of what really where our heart is and where our walk with the Lord is that, especially in the light of difficulties and trials, is that we come out the other side with a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude, even when life is tough. This is what we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. I mean, you think about Pauline theology throughout his 13 letters. He writes in such a way that distributes this gratitude often. And what we need to see in light of just one verse is that all of our lives are to sum up a summation of praise to this great God. Do we see in the midst of our lives, and maybe a little bit more particular in your own life, do you see in the midst of your life the hand of God working? And if so, do you praise him? Do you verbally extol him? Do you share his goodness with others, even in troubling times? In every circumstance, we must give thanks. I think about this throughout church history, and, and throughout life and through the life of the believer. And there's many examples of this, but here's one that my wife and I often talk about. Many of you guys know the name Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy. They were, of course, captured. They were Jews. They were in Nazi concentration camps. They were kept in this camp called Ravensbrück, and it was terribly overcrowded. It was flea-infested, in particular in their own barrack. They had been able to smuggle in a Bible into the camp. And in that Bible, they had read all these things of what we're talking about this morning, that we were to give thanks to God no matter what our situation is. That they can give thanks to see his hand move. And so in light of taking theology and practically applying it to her life, Betsy, Corrie Ten Boom's sister, decided that it was wise of them to thank God for the fleas. Now, I don't know about you. We just went through fly season. We harvested about 100 flies at our house. It's out of hall. Being thankful for something that brings irritant. According to history, this was too much for Corrie, who said she couldn't do such a thing. The joy of a sister, she insisted. Corrie finally gives in and prayed to thank God for the fleas. Over the next several months, a wonderful but curious thing happened. They found that the guards never entered their barrack. This meant that the women were not assaulted. This meant also that they could open up their Bible and read it and have Bible study with others and pray with each other. Through this, countless numbers of women came to know Christ. And only at the end did they discover why the guards had left them alone and would not enter into their barracks. And you know the answer. It was because of the fleas. The guards would not go into that barrack because of the fleas. Those fleas, no doubt, saved their lives and allowed them to be a witness for the things of God. I'm sure they were a nuisance at times. No doubt they caused displeasure. But listen, God meant it for good. And God often does that for us. Providentially taking care of us and providing in ways that we don't even think about. Having a grateful heart. I think it's safe to say that we as Christians, we need to have this mindset as believers in Christ Jesus. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You want to know God's will for your life? Give him thanks. Praise him. Now back to Philippians, our one verse. The context is key here when you think about when Paul was writing to these believers in Philippi. And when he says that he's thankful to God and for them. When Paul pens this letter, we know that he is not on a vacation. He is in prison in Rome. He's waiting to see Caesar. He's roughly 1,800 miles away. And by the way, he hasn't seen these believers for about 10 years. He's in chains. He's a prisoner of Rome. He's awaiting trial. And here, Paul can say right out of the bat, as he thinks about them, that he's thankful for them. He's thankful to God, and he's thankful for them. And those are the two things that we note about this verse. At first, that he's thankful to God. He says, "I thank my God." And this is what's so beautiful about this. He says, "I'm not thankful to God." He says, "I'm thankful to my God." Notice the personal relationship that Paul has with the living God. This is my God, and I'm thankful to him. And despite all the present difficulties, he's not allowing circumstances to dictate his heart. He is resolved to look eternal. He's resolved to look at the greatness of Christ and the goodness of God. He's thankful. And the object of his thankfulness is God. He is looking to him. He's grateful for his provision. He knows that he can trust him. And when you think of Paul and all of his letters, he wrote underneath the inspiration of the Spirit, doing a little bit of study, this is kind of just, like I say, Pauline theology coming out, and he wrote 13 letters. 12 of them he gives thanks. One of them he doesn't. One of them he doesn't. 13 letters. Most all of them start and begin with this gratitude, with this thankfulness. Let me just give you a few of these. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. 1 Corinthians 1, 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus. For Paul, this was a lifestyle. For Paul, this made sense that when Jesus Christ entered your life, it radically changed people, and he gave thanks for God's work in people's lives. I think what's interesting to me about his thankfulness for the Corinthians church, I know you guys are studying that on Monday night. You talk about a letter. We talk about a people, a church, that was messed up. It was the church at Corinth. And yet Paul, right out of the chute, says, I'm thankful concerning the grace for you. Even though Paul had, and these people were just a mess. They were carnal, the scripture tells us. They were backbiting. They were selfish. They were filled with all kinds of deep issues. And yet Paul could look at them for the good that Christ is doing in their life. And he says, I thank my God always concerning you. For he knew that the grace of God would change them. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. I mean, Paul was pulsating with gratitude. He had this overarching understanding of this providence of God and the sovereignty of God, knowing that the gospel would change them. What's the one book that he's not thankful for when he writes and pens it? It's the book of Galatians. If you know anything about that book, you know what was that issue at hand. The issue there was that the Galatians had been bewitched. They were following a different gospel, and Paul was straight to the heart. And he goes after their hearts. And he was a very serious letter going after what they were abandoning, what they were doing. And he was, nowhere does it say. Now, by the way, sometimes when we look what's not there, which means that he's not necessarily thankful for what they're doing. And rightly so. They had abandoned the gospel. But when you look at it, his letter writing, used by the Holy Spirit, all of his epistles marked with this heart of gratitude. He says in Ephesians 5:20, he says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And so may our hearts overflow with the simplicity of thought of being grateful. Colossians 3:17 reminds us of this when Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get that first part of that verse, but it goes on to say, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So this is commonplace for the life of the apostle and of course, inspired to emulate. And Paul says, listen, you follow me when I'm following Christ. And as believers in Christ, we look and see what God is doing in people's lives, and we rejoice in that. Now, back in our verse in Philippians, Paul is first thankful for his God. And then second, he's thankful for the believers in Philippi. Notice what it says at the end of verse 3. It says, in all of my remembrance of you. Now, you got to understand that the church at Philippi was not a perfect church. They had good times. They had bad times. And yet Paul says that in all of this, in all of his thinking about them, he is thankful to God for them. I don't know about you, but we have the tendency to look at people and we find the dirt. We find the things that we don't like. We find the things that are something that maybe is sinful or we're going to hold a grudge against. One of the greatest verses in my own life, Scripture calls us, and this is from the Apostle Paul, he says to cling to what is good and abhor what is evil. Do we have that in our DNA of thinking about the Christian life, of walking in such a way that we rejoice when the Spirit is moving and God is showing his hand? And so the question is, do we rejoice when we see Christ's work, doing his work in each other? I think what makes this verse even more spectacular is just the context that I gave you earlier. The fact that it's been 10 years since he's last seen him. And he has a deep love for them. He has a deep concern for them. He has a deep remembrance of their joy and their love for Christ. And he knows that it's not static. He knows that they're growing in it. And so Paul was always giving thanks to God because he saw the hand of God move in their lives. And those are things of which we should praise. So what say you? Right? Can I say it that way? What about you? Can you find within your heart this attitude of gratitude, right? Where you see the hand of God and you rejoice. I know with this given year, there are many opportunities that you saw the hand of God move and you rejoice. Even when life's trials and life's ups and downs, can you see the hand of God kindly move and rejoice in his goodness in your life? And so it is at this point where the preacher shuts up and we give him praise. We'll have microphones that we will pass around. But before we do that, I do want to just encourage, if you have a baby up in the nursery, go grab your child. I'll pray here just shortly. And then we'll sing a song, and then we'll praise. Amen? Father, we do thank you for the morning and for the clarity of what the Scripture teaches about this redeemed life. Not only have we been created for the joy of knowing your Savior, receiving that grace, understanding that forgiveness, but the result of that is that the testimony of every born-again believer is a testimony of praise. And I pray this morning that we be able to do that. I know, Lord, that would put some out of their comfort zone. And yet, we're all here to praise you. And so may you embolden some hearts to be able to stand and give you praise. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness in our church. Father, how you have walked with us, you have grown us, and there is much for us to be thankful for, corporately. And so we give you all the praise. So may you receive our words with delight. And may you receive all the glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Why don't you stand and we'll sing a song and then we'll give you an opportunity to praise.
Thank you for listening to the Magic Valley Bible Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.mvbibletf.org or Facebook at facebook.com/mvbible or YouTube at youtube.com/mvbible.